Why don't we turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 10? I am so excited going through the book of Joshua. We're going to go a little faster after the Easter season. Actually, next Wednesday, we'll start going a few chapters at a time. But these first half of the book, or at least the first 10 chapters, are so important when we look at entering into the promises that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Because the book of Joshua is compatible with the book of Ephesians, the full blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, the victorious Christian life. And what you find here, now in chapter 10, we find that because of prayerlessness and maybe pridefulness, we find that Joshua and Israel has just made a major compromise, if you were with us in chapter 9. They've made a covenant with the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were next on the hit list to go in and really conquer the land. And the Gibeonites lied to Joshua. They deceived Joshua. They pretended to be something that they were not. And they compromised, just like sin does with us. It promises something. Oh, this is going to really make your life exciting, and this is really going to bring living worthwhile to you. And we find that it does the complete opposite. And so you find that the Gibeonites, what they did, just like sin in our life, and they made a covenant with the Gibeonites. And we sometimes can make a covenant with sin. We can make a covenant with compromise. Certain besetting sins, we think, well, I haven't been able to conquer it yet, so I think I'll coincide in my Christian life with this particular compromise, this particular sin. So Israel, instead of eradicating, they accommodated. They accommodated the Gibeonites. And that's sometimes what we will do. We will accommodate certain sins and weaknesses and things that are a trap to us, instead of eradicating those, no matter how long it takes. You know, some things don't just take a year or two or even 5 or 10 years. Some things take 20, 30, 40 years, and you're still battling those. I've been a Christian in the Jesus movement since the early 70s. There's things I'm still battling. But you see, to gain the victory, it's a battleground. It's not a playground. And so for us to have the promises, you see, when we determine to live that victorious Christian life and experience the full blessings of God, you have to expect warfare from the enemy. And that's what we find here with Joshua and with Israel, and what just happened with this compromise with the Gibeonites. You see, when we possess God's promises, again, they're won on the battlefield, not on the playing field. It's a battle all the way to the end. And you see, once you conquer that area, then you have to possess that area. Then you have to live in that area. And you have to realize it's yours now. Don't let that besetting sin come back in and take you out of that promise, because that can happen. You see, it happened to the children of Israel. And these are the lessons that we're to learn. You see, in the enemy, we find that he attacks. The enemy will attack at our most vulnerable place, at our weakest place. Remember Jesus when he went up to the Mount of Temptation and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and it said, then Satan came to tempt him. At his weakest point, he became hungry. In other words, he was at the point of starvation. And then the enemy came to seek to tempt Jesus. You see, when I am at my strongest, that's when I'm at my weakest. And when I'm at my weak place, that's when I'm strong in the Lord. God perfects his power in weakness. So when you think you're strong, man, I could take on the devil. Man, I can take on whatever temptation comes my way. Watch out. Watch out. When I am weak, then I am strong. But when I think I'm really strong, kind of full of myself, that's when the enemy is going to attack. So here's what we see. Here's what we see in chapter 10. We see five kings, pagan kings, united to attack that place of weakness, that place of compromise, the Gibeonites. Joshua made a covenant with the Gibeonites. He couldn't break it. So he's going to have to come to the aid of the Gibeonites. And just as we make a covenant with our flesh, just as we compromise with our flesh, there's when the enemy will come. He'll attack that area of compromise. And that's where he wants to draw us out into battle and destroy us. You see, I don't think, for a Christian, I don't think the enemy is going to come at you in one fell swoop, and he's going to get you to deny Jesus. Oh, I just don't believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh, die for my sins. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't know any Christian where the enemy will come in and do that to him. But I do know a number of Christians where the enemy goes to that weak place in their life and he begins to mess with that weak place and then draws them. Maybe verbally they don't say, I don't believe in Jesus. They still believe in Jesus. They love Jesus. But the thing is, they've been drawn so into sin, they've compromised their witness. And it's almost as like Paul. He says, lest I beat my flesh down, I might be set on the shelf. I might compromise my witness, be set on the shelf, and be taken out of, the ministry that God has given me. And so he's not going to come at you, and you're not going to necessarily deny the Lord verbally, but he can go to that area in your life, as we see here with the Gibeonites. So it says in chapter